those who have travelled over to Xi'an have recognised how much Sarah has looked after us. Has just been absolutely wonderful. And yes, Matt was smitten with her the first time we went there, I think it was, and didn't tell us, but anyway, he kept it to himself, pretending that he was on a mission trip, but all the while interested. The second trip, I think, that I took Matt, and suddenly he and Sarah were arranging little dinners together. And I thought, what's going on here? And suddenly wised up to what was happening. It's just wonderful to have you guys with us, and we're so thrilled to support what you're doing and totally believe in what God's going to do over the next few years. Just an amazing work. And, of course, urban church ministry in China is so critical to the future of that nation. And we've talked about it a lot, but the church in the rural areas has powered forward for years. The church in the cities is really needing to grow and to get strong, and it's people like this that are going to build that. The other thing that I love about this is a young couple who are just going to get married and get stuck straight into the work. And I just think that's awesome. I just believe in that. You don't muck about, you don't mess around, you just get stuck straight into what God's called you to do. And let Him bless you. It's called seeking first the kingdom of God and letting everything sort out. That's what it's called, and that's what you do. It's awesome. We're coming today. It's Vision Week, and it's been fantastic to hear the vision that we've been shared today from various people. And, of course, our focus for our church, of course, is to reach people who don't yet know God. That's it. I mean, I know we come up with a different sort of approach and focus and theme every year in our Vision Week, but those of you that have been around for a while, you know it's just a repackaging of the same thing. We are here to reach those who don't yet know God. We love God. We just think He's fantastic. Jesus is the best ever. He is the captain of our soul. He is the one that's worth following. And that's our message, and that's what we're interested in. That's all it's about. And so this year, that's again what we're about. That's our focus, is reaching those who don't yet know God. Of course, there's another aspect to that this year, and that's our new facilities. And you know that we're looking towards breaking ground on new facilities this year. We've already got incredible blessing that's come to us, and we've got a property that we're selling, and we're raising funds. But you also know we've got a challenge before us to get more funds together so that we can actually move into this new place and get it happening. And we've committed ourselves to break ground on that this year. So we want to have a project in action underway this year. Not next year. Everyone say this year. This year. And so that's a big thing. That's a challenge. That's a step forward. And we're believing God for real blessing and breakthrough. I had a fantastic prayer night on Wednesday night in the house builders. It was just great. We just all got together and we got stuck into it, praying for all those things that are on our prayer cards and people praying for each other. I was listening in. I heard some testimonies afterwards. There were prophetic words flying left, right, and center. And all kinds of stuff was going on. It was just fantastic. As God is going to lead and guide and bring breakthrough into all our lives. Amen? So today, I thought last week, I did More Than Conquerors, and we looked at the guys, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who I know you're very familiar with, but it's part of the story of Joshua and the taking of the promised land. And I thought I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to do that. I thought that's a nice place to start on our Vision Week. And, the more I got into it, the more it's just keeping on going. And in fact, I've got this week's message and next week's message coming out of this same sort of stuff. And I'll probably go until we have our mission thing. Who knows? But so I think we'll just call it Vision Month and be done with it. But we're coming today, and I want to talk today about, because last week we looked at them being more than conquerors. I talked about how they were so committed to what they were there to achieve, that they had already achieved great things, but they said, we're going to take another step, we're going to go further, we're going to keep moving forward and get to what God has got for all of us to do. Just a fantastic group of people who knew how to live a life of faith. So today, what I really wanted to get into our hearts is, how do I actually live that life of faith? What do I do from here if I'm going to step out in faith on what God's got for me? Because if all those ministries that we heard about, those people talking about, reaching out, the young people, the soup kitchen, Up and Coffee, whatever else, the music team, the worship team, all those areas, as they're stepping out into what God has got, we know that requires faith. Joanne shared about Kids Church and wanting to get more leaders together. You know, they want to get more leaders because they've got heaps of kids and they want to reach those kids. You know, we get a bunch of kids here midweek who have no other church connection. Their families are completely non-church. They wouldn't know which way is up. Sometimes you see them coming into church here and they're sort of standing around looking, going, what the heck? Because they really have no idea what church is about. They've got no idea about the Bible, no idea about Jesus, no idea about church. And our kids team are reaching those kids every week. Every week. They're reaching more non-church people than probably anybody else in the city. They are just out there doing the job. And so when they say we want more kids team, that's a faith step. They say we're stepping out in faith and we're believing God to provide and to do all. We're going to do it anyway and we're trusting God to make his provision. That requires faith. So I want to talk today about how to live that kind of faith. Next week, I want to talk about how to learn that kind of faith. But this week, I want to talk about how to live that kind of faith. So let's have a look at it. Come with me. In fact, we're going to go to Joshua in a minute, but go to Numbers first, because we have here, I just love thinking about the faith generation. You know, in this time in the Bible history, there are two generations that are coexisting. There's a dead generation who are dead and dying, a generation of unbelief and doubt, and there's a faith generation. And those two coexist for about 40 years while they're walking around in the wilderness. In fact, longer than that, because they're all together when they left Egypt. But they coexist for this length of time. And so you can compare the two generations. You can look at there's a dead, death, unbelief, doubt generation. I shouldn't do that over here, really, should I? There's an unbelief generation and the faith generation. Ah, look. So you've got both, and we can compare the two, and we can say, okay, what's one doing that causes them to die, but the other one did something different that caused them not only to live, but to prosper and to take the land. So there's two different ways to go. I'll give you your choice on which way you want to go. But the generation of unbelief, though, we can see them, Numbers 13 and 14. If you want to, I'm not going to go into it in detail, but if you want to read it later, you can see what they did. You can read it, you can see it. It is plain as the nose on your face how they lived their lives and what they did wrong. In Numbers 13, verse 27, let's just have a look at their report. That they go and they spy out the land and they come back and they gave Moses this account. They say, we went into the land in which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. These people are interesting to me. They remind me of the people who begrudgingly say, you were right. But then they've got a big but. They need to go to the Biggest Loser because they've got a big but. And the big but is about to come. And they say, but the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified, very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak. Who cares there? The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites, they live in the hill country. And they start going on about all the problems. And they say, yes, the blessing of God is there, but here's all the problems. So what does an unbelief generation do? What does a death generation do? They focus right in on the problems. They don't look for the good. They don't look for God. They don't look for the blessing. They just get onto the problem. You know, it's just so much human nature that all these beautiful things are going on, but then they focus on the negative. And they come away from any situation in life. Instead of speaking about the wonderful things that are going on, they talk about the dramas and the problems. If you want to be dead in your faith, if you want to be part of the death generation, then just focus on the problem. Just get focused right in on all the problems, all the can't do's. Can you imagine if Matt there was met this beautiful Chinese woman and he said, oh, she's absolutely fantastic. And then he got focused in on all the problems. Now, Sarah's got no problems, but there are issues in the CIA ABC man getting himself over there to China and all the visas and all that. Can you imagine if he just got so focused in on all those problems that he forgot about the blessing of God that was waiting for him? Could you imagine that? How stupid would he be? And that's the unbelief generation. Just so stupid that they focus right in on all the problems. Of course there are problems. If you're going to do something fantastic for God, if you're going to do something great, if there's going to be a breakthrough, then there's got to be something to break through. So there's going to be problems. Of course they're going to be there. But the unbelief generation, they just get stuck on it. Numbers, I said I wouldn't preach on that, but I'll keep moving. Numbers 13, verse 31, here we see again. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And away they went, and they listened to the negativity. They listened to the bad report. They get it into their spirit, and they let it dominate their thinking. That's the unbelief generation. In verse 33, they actually say, "We were grasshoppers in our own eyes." Grasshoppers. They're giants. We're grasshoppers. And they just buy into the negativity of the whole situation. Don't do it. Don't. Is this you? Are you a butt person? Are you a big butt? Are you a butt person? Are you a person who's letting the negativity rule your life? Are you a person who's focusing so much? Are you buying into the negativity, the lies, the doubts? Are you buying into that stuff? It's time to kick it. It's time to chuck that stuff. You've got to. That's why it's spiritual warfare. That's why it's discipline of the mind. That's why it's breaking down strongholds. Because these things have got to be smashed. You cannot live there and walk in the blessing of God. And that's what these guys found. They all died in the wilderness. Numbers 14, verse 1. We see that they reject. I'm not going to read it, but they reject the direction of God. And I'm interested because they reject the leadership of Moses. Moses says, we've got to go. And God is saying, got to go. But the people reject the leadership of God and the leadership of Moses. And they say, we know better. We're going to protect ourselves. If we go in there, our children are going to die. It's one of the great ironies of Scripture that these people who say our children are going to die, they die and their children prosper. It's just one of those really weird ironies of the Word of God that these ridiculously stupid people just go, they're so focused on the wrong thing that they just cannot receive what God has got for them. Don't be like that. Don't reject God's direction. Don't reject the direction of those that God has placed in leadership over you. Open your heart. Let God engage with it. Say, well, God's speaking, God's leading. I'm going to engage. I'm going to get a hold of it. I'm going to let it fill my heart. I'm not sure about this, and there's giants, and there's that, and the other, but I'm going to let it fill my heart, and we're going to move into what God's got for us. Amen? Then have a look at Numbers 40. And then the last thing, just on this generation of mine, just to give you a context for the next guys. But in Numbers 14, verse 39, you can read it for yourself later. Basically, they decide, we're sorry, we haven't gone and done what you did. And they say, now we want to go and do it. And so now we have presumption and self-dependence. They're just going to pile this on top of all the rest of the junk they've been doing. And they've said, God, we've missed your timing, we've missed your mark, we've been disobedient. And now we're just going to rise up ourselves and go and do it. And again, Moses says to them, he says, don't do it, you'll be defeated. They don't listen to him again. They reject his leadership again. And they go in and they get defeated. And it's the beginning of the end for them. So I want to say, don't be part of that generation in your life. In your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, don't do it. Don't buy into the negativity. Don't buy into the bad report. Don't focus on the problem. Don't do all that stuff. Get rid of that stuff out of your head. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to those who've given in leadership over you. Open your heart. Don't push forward in self-dependence. Get it from God. Wait for God. Do what He says. Be part of the faith generation. And now we can look at these good guys and what they did, all right? So come over to Joshua. Here we come, 40 years later. Boom, 40 years. They're all dead, they're all gone. I just imagine these faith guys just waiting around for them to drop off the perch so that we can keep going. I would have got sick of it after, 5 or 10 years. I just would have got sick of it. Can't we just get a gun? You know what I mean? A bit of godly euthanasia wouldn't go far wrong here, surely. And just, come on, God, you opened up the ground every now and then and swallowed a few. We're just hanging, we're mucking around. We're spending 40 years waiting for them to cark off. Let's get on with it. Is anybody with me? The mercy people in the house were, what are you talking about? You can't do, give them a chance. They're not going to repent. They can't repent. They're all dying. That's it. I'd just rather get going. So they spent their 40 years waiting for them all to die off. And this faith generation, you can just feel it. They're just getting stronger and stronger. That's why the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manasseh, whatever the name is, those guys, that's why they all started. They're just getting stronger and stronger. And so when it comes time to go in, we saw last week, and Moses says it's time to go in. They go, you bet it's time to go in. Anyone stops us, we're going to kill them because they're sick of it. Get out of the way. Let's go. That's what it's about. Faith generation. I just love these guys. So Joshua 1, verse 3 to 5. If you want to know how to live like the faith generation, then I want to give you a very old Pentecostal term. You ready for the old Pentecostal term? I've been around long enough to know some old Pentecostal terms. And if you say this properly, you'd have to say it with some sort of weird accent. But it's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. I mean, that's what you got to get. When I was growing up in Pentecostal church, and that was after I grew up in the wonderful church that we grew up in, and my mum and dad are right there, give them a good hand. They're fantastic. But when we started getting engaged with the Pentecostal mob, we started getting all these fantastic terms coming. And one of them was the word of the Lord. And I just think it's really important that as we become all contemporary and all modern and all snazzy and all that, that we don't forget what the real essence of the power of God is. And one of those things is to hear the word of the Lord. The word of God is incredibly powerful. And God's word into your situation is amazingly powerful. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, we hear this. This is the word of the Lord to Joshua from verse 3. Gee, I'm going back. I get taller now. All right. I will give you every place where you set your foot. How many know that's a word of the Lord? I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. It's the word of the Lord. This is a multi-generation word of the Lord. I am going to give you every place where you set your foot. I don't know how you operate, but when I get a word like that, it goes on the mirror, it goes on the screensaver, it goes in the wallet, it's tatted on the eyeballs. I don't know what you do, but that word, I reckon Joshua, I don't know, he maybe tattoo was the go, those I don't know, but I'm sure he wrote that down somewhere, I'm sure he had it in his heart, and for the next years, I would have that in my spirit. I will give you every place you set your foot. And I'd be doing two things. I would be getting that word into my spirit, and I'd be setting my foot a lot of places, let me tell you. Every place you set your foot, it's yours. The word of the Lord. Have you got a word from God for your situation? Why not if you haven't? Seek Him. Ask Him. Get it. Get the word of God. Don't just, I've got a nice idea. I don't care what nice. I have 50 nice ideas a day. All right, in 5 minutes, you give me a subject matter, we'll have 5,000 ideas in 5 minutes. I mean, that's just how I operate. Some people here understand that. They're the same kind of personality. And you know, most of those ideas are ridiculous. Most of them are useless. Most of them are hopeless. In there, there's some good ones. Smart chap. But you know, I don't. If you got a good idea, that's fantastic. Have you got the word of the Lord?
Yeah.
Have you got the word of the Lord in your situation? That's where faith, you want to live by faith. You want to live by yourself, self-dependence, death generation, then go ahead. Just have good ideas. But if you want to live in faith, then get the word of the Lord. Get the word of the Lord. Get God's word on your situation. I'll give you every place you set your foot, he said to Moses, to Joshua. What an awesome thing. He says, your territory will extend from here to here to here to there. And verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Wow! That's a word from God, isn't it? Wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. I will be with you, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Wow! That's the word of the Lord into your situation. We had that wonderful marriage yesterday. I will say to you, quite honestly, up until a week ago, in my heart of hearts, I was still father of the bride, protective, defensive. You know, everyone say, yeah, Mitch and Mary are getting married and it's all wonderful. I go, yeah, that's my daughter. That's a bloke. And Heather would go, oh, he's a lovely man, a lovely young man. Oh, lovely, he's so sweet, he's so wonderful. Oh, he's the biggest fan. I'm like, shut up, woman. You know, is any of the guys with me? Anybody with me? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of them. Thank you. That's my daughter. Don't you go messing around. I didn't say this last night. I was nice last night. That's my daughter. And any of the fathers in the house, any of the daughters, you know what I'm talking about, I think. That's my daughter. And, you know, and yet I knew it was right. And God had given me some confidence about that some time ago. And Mitch is such a lovely guy and so strong and so good. But, you know, during the week, just in my daily reading, got to Genesis chapter 2. Read that so many times. And I read that scripture that says God made the woman for man. And they were made, and God just dropped into my spirit, into my heart. He said they're made for each other. And from that moment, father of the bride was gone. And people were asking me yesterday, saying, "Oh, how you feeling?" I'm going, "Great. I'm feeling fantastic." I think some of them were a bit freaked out by my response, because I was just, why? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Was it a good idea? Yes, it was a good idea. Is he a great young man? Yes, he's a great young man. The word of the Lord. That's what makes the difference. When I got to chase down this beautiful young woman at the front here, I had to get a word of the Lord. She wouldn't marry me unless I had a word of the Lord. Go to Isaiah. Go to one of the prophets and just open it up. Just make it mean anything you like. It's just easy. Oh, there I was looking for, can I get a word of the Lord? I don't know. Got to get a word of the Lord. What's this ridiculous business? Get a word of the Lord. Read more of the Bible in that month than I've ever read in my life. I'll tell you right now. There's got to be a word in here somewhere, surely. I mean, what's going on? And so, but you know, the way it is for me is as I'm setting my heart towards something, as I'm reading the word, just I find most of the time, just day in, day out reading the word, along the way, God just goes, bang, there it is. And the word of the Lord comes. The word of the Lord. I just want to encourage you so much. Seek God. Whatever step of faith, whatever thing that God's stirring in your spirit, in your heart, then seek him for a word. Seek him for something from the scriptures. Some example, some life, some character, some promise, some whatever it is. And say, God, just drop it into my spirit. Don't try to make it happen. You can't really do that. But get yourself into the word of God and be daily with God and just let him speak. But once you get a hold of that word of God, then just grab a hold of it for all you're worth. Let it sit in your spirit. The planting of our church, we're in our 20th year. 19 years ago today when this church started. And we had a word from God. Two scriptures that were words from God for the beginning of this church. The reason we have a church today here in Ferry Meadow City Life Church is because God planted a word in our hearts and said, that's the word of the Lord. And the church could have been knocked over any time by the attacks of the enemy and by all kinds of drama, and we've had plenty, and it could have been knocked over many times. I'll tell you why it hasn't been knocked over. People say, they ask me, how come you've made it through all that drama and stuff? And I give them all kinds of answers that they want to hear. But the, you know, the truth is, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. That's the truth. Get the word of the Lord. Focus in. The scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Get the word of God in your heart. You're believing for your marriage to improve, brother and sister. We'll pray for you right now. You're believing for your marriage to get stronger. Get a word from God. Start praying. Don't just think about it. Don't just have a nice idea. Get a word from God. Some of you still aren't quite getting this, I don't think. You're thinking, oh, maybe that's for the preachers, that's for the televangelists. No, that's for you. God wants to walk with you. He wants to be beside you this week, today, tomorrow, the next day. He wants to be walking alongside you, and he wants to speak into your situation. He wants to speak. He breathed. Honestly, God breathed the worlds into existence. He can breathe a word into your situation. He can bring something to bear on you that can just break open whatever he wants to do. Amen? Some people this year are going to have to get a word from God. If we're going to get where we got to get, then people have got to get a word from God. It's not going to be good enough to have nice ideas. It's got to be the word of God. Amen? Promise of the word of God in your heart. At every point, these guys heard the word of God. They sought him. They wanted to know what he was saying. And the only time they didn't do it, in a little town called Ai, and they got defeated. Have a look at it. Chapter 7. Go home and have a read of it. That's the only time they were defeated, when they didn't seek God. And they said, we'll just go and do what we want to do. And they got beaten. And they had to come back. And they had to seek God, find out what the problem was, do it God's way, and they got the victory. The difference is not good ideas or strength or how many people you got beside you or how much money you got. None of that's got anything to do with it. It's all about the word of God, the word of the Lord for your situation. Amen? Father, I just thank you for the amazing power of your word. I just thank you, Lord, that for Heather and I, you've given us incredible promises over the years in so many areas for our family life, our marriage, our church. Lord, you've spoken so many times, and we are so thankful. And Lord, I pray for every person here today that you would speak your word. I pray that this week, as our people are reading your word, that you would speak into hearts, that you'd just release words all over the place. That there will be a prompt. Some who have never heard your word before, some who have never received a word from you, that this week they'll get it. They'll be reading your word and something will jump out at them and they'll say, that's from God. That's what Ron was talking about on Sunday. I ask, Lord God, that you would do that by your grace. We're dependent on you. Amen. The word of the Lord, so important. The second thing they did, Joshua chapter, you thought I finished, didn't you? Because I was praying. Disappointment. Joshua chapter 2. I want to go quick. I'm going to get to this because the third one's really good. The second one, Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. I just want to tell you, I'm not going to speak on this because I haven't got time, but they listened to a good report. You know the story. Read the story for yourself. They sent two spies. Joshua's smart. He said, I'm not sending all those hooligans in there again. He says, I'm just going to pick two guys out who are good guys. I'm going to send them in there. We're going to get a good report, and we're not going to let any of that doubt and unbelief come into the situation. That's what's going on, isn't it? And so he sends two guys, they see what's going on, they nearly get killed, they have all kinds of problems, much more problems than the first lot, they have all kinds of problems, then they lose their lives, and they come back and they say, God has surely given us this land. Isn't that a difference? What an amazing difference. Here are these two young men who just, they're a generation of faith. And they've gone in there and they've seen the good land and they've had all the problems and all the dramas and they say, God has given us this land. Isn't that good? And they give a good report, and the people listen to a good report. My sense on this is they were looking for God. They were looking for God. They went into that land not looking for problems. They were looking for God. They were looking for what God was doing, and guess what? They found it. They found what God was. Can I just say to you very quickly on this? God is at work in your situation. That unsaved person, that person who doesn't yet know God, God is working in their heart. He is working in their life. He is drawing. He is trying to. He is working. He's working in your business. He's working in your family. He's more interested in your well-being than you are. He loves your kids more than you do. He believes in your marriage more than you do. Funny, you get a perspective, you sort of God perspective every now and then. And every now and then when I'm working with a married couple that are having difficulty, I come to a point of realizing that I believe in their marriage more than they do. It's happened to me a few times. And I get tempted at that point, going, well, what am I bothering for? They're not going to bother. What am I bothering? And then I feel God speak to me, and he says, well, that's how I feel. He's more interested in your well-being than you are. He doesn't just sit back and go, well, I can't be bothered if they can't be bothered. He's still working. Look for what God's doing. He's at work. Last one. Here we go. Oh, I love, this is the one I really wanted to share about today. Spent all that time, shouldn't have wasted that time. Just come to this. The thing I really love is Joshua chapter 3. Again, it's all the way through the story, actually. But it's radical obedience. Radical obedience. They hear the word of the Lord. They listen to a good report. What's God doing? And then they just do anything. I mean, it's phenomenal what they do. There's only one I really want to read you because it's funny. But there's so many. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 and so on, when they come to cross the Jordan, if you read that, it says to the priest, you've got to go and stand in the river. He says, go and stand. The river's flowing. He says, you've got to go and stand in the river. So many people are waiting for the river to stop before they stand in the river. Can I tell you something? You can't stand in the river when the river stopped. You figure that one out? There's no river there anymore. It's just a riverbed. Okay? He says to him, stand in the river. There's the river. He says, go and stand in the river. Okay, we're standing in the river. So here we have these dozen blokes or so, and they've got this ark, this golden thing on a couple of sticks, and they're standing in the river. Beauty. And their feet are getting, maybe those little fish, those the Chinese love, you know, the one that they put your foot in the thing, and the Thais actually love it, fantastic. And they eat all the stuff off your feet and stuff. Maybe those fish were in the river, and the priests were getting a nice little pedicure while they were standing. I don't know what's going on, but he said, stand in the river. And what happened when they stood in the river? The river stopped, and it backed up, and all the people crossed over under the blessing of God. You just got to do what God says. You've got to do what God says. He says, go over there to Jericho. He said, you know the story. He said, march around, march around. So there they are behind this silly golden thing. They've got these priests dressed up in all these weird clothes with this golden thing behind them. They're following a golden box around a walled city. Around. I mean, it's ludicrous. We spiritualize it all. Some people are getting offended now because they just thought it was a golden box, and they're going, oh, you've got to be more holy than that. It's a golden box with a bunch of blokes in costumes walking around. That's all it is. Do you think God's in the box? Wake up! He doesn't care about the robes. I reckon God's just going, oh, that's pretty funny. He's going, let's make those blokes wear a hat. How about we do that? Jesus is going, that's cool. You made them wear a hat. You made them got robes. And they're walking around the city. This is cool. And I think God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost sit there and go, oh, that's pretty funny. I don't really. I just think it's humorous. But and he just says, walk around. So here they are. We've got these million people or so. And they're walking around after a golden box of sticks and costume guys. And they're walking around. Ridiculous. And then the walls fall down. And they just walk in and take the city. It's not about how clever you think you are. It's not about your great idea. It's not about any of that. It's the word of the Lord, a good report, and an act of faith. That's all it is. The word of the Lord, listen to the good report, what's God doing, and act in faith. We see it all the way through the scriptures. The scripture says that Peter had to get out of the boat and onto the water. You don't walk on the water in the boat. Simple, isn't it? There's these people who are wanting to practice walking on the water. So there's the boat, and they're walking up and down the boat. I'm walking on the water. No, you're not. You're walking on the boat. You've got to get out of the boat to walk on the water. Yeah. Some people have got that one. Anyway, you've got to do it. The prophet says to the widow, give me your food first, and God will provide for you. And she does. Phenomenal. Yeah. Prophet says to Naaman, go and bath in the Jordan River. And you'll come back, you'll be healed. He says, well, I got better rivers back in Babylon. What am I going to go down here for? And he goes down, he bathes in the river, he gets healed. Acts of faith. Here, let me come to the scripture I really wanted to read. Here we go. This is funny. Joshua 5. The blokes will find this more amusing than the girls probably, but anyway. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Get the picture here, will you? We have crossed the Jordan. We're looking at a walled city with armies. And here's what God says to do. Joshua chapter 5. You want to break through this year, gentlemen? Here it comes. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So now, these guys had not been circumcised yet. We're not talking about something weird going on here. Again, as the whole people, because they hadn't. Anyway, whatever. You're looking at it. Work it out for yourself. And so Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath, Haraloth. That's not a place they'd like to remember, I don't think. And have a look. Where are we? I'm just enjoying it too much. Verse 8. And it says, verse 8, and after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. So please get the picture. Not that picture. I'm just trying to help out those sinners amongst us to stay on the right path. You know, that's all that I'm trying to do here. Get the idea here. They've crossed over. They're facing the walled city. They've got an army to defeat. And God says, now's the time to circumcise everybody. And Joshua says, that's a great idea. And he gets every bloke and he circumcises them all. And they're all walking around, a bit uncomfortable for a week or so. At that moment, if they were attacked by a troop of Boy Scouts, they're in a bad way. Maxwell Smart and his Boy Scouts will do them in right there, because there's all these blokes who, they can't do anything. And I've read that so many times, and I just, this week I'm thinking, that is so ridiculous. That is, anyone with me? That is utterly ridiculous. Here you are. You're crossing the Jordan. You're facing your enemy for the first time, and you carve yourselves up and say, come and get us. I mean, it's just stupid in the extreme. The word of the Lord, a good report, and radical action. It's not about how ready you are to fight. It's not about what sort of warrior you think you are. It's not about any of that. It's the word of God. It's what God's going to do. God's trying to teach them in all of this. He's saying, this is not about you at all. In fact, you guys can just show up and watch, if you like. Have a bit of exercise. Just walk around and let the thing drop down. You don't have to do anything. Just let me move. The word of the Lord, a good report, and a step of faith. That's how you live in faith. And you will find in your life that you will always be trying to go back to what you think you know, what you think you can do. And God is always trying to move you to the place of faith. Always. He's always trying to prompt a faith step inside of you. He's always trying to speak because he knows that life is not about what you can do, but life is about what he can do in you and through you. And when we learn that, we become the faith generation. Amen? You can read through in Joshua chapter 5 because the real issue, verse 13 to 15, Joshua encounters the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua says to him, are you for us or against us? And the commander of God's army says, no, I've come. And I love that little story because it's not about whether, you know, am I in charge? Are you for me or against me? And God comes and he says, no, just shut up. I'm here now. Let's get this thing going. The word of the Lord. Good report. Step of faith. Amen? Father, we just give you praise. Lord, I'm so thankful for the incredible love and grace that you have towards us, that you so much want to bless our lives. You do. You believe in our marriages and our finances and our families and our work. You believe in it more than we do. You want to bless. You want to release. And yet we are so stuck in ourselves. We're so stuck in our limited thinking, so stuck in our natural approach to things. And Father, we're asking today that you would forgive us because we don't want to be a people of unbelief. We don't want to be part of that generation. We want to be a people of faith. We want to be a people, particularly this year, we want to be a people who can hear your word and act in faith to see you do something marvelous and wonderful in our hearts. Lord, I pray for every person here today, those that you're speaking to, those you're going to speak to this week. Lord, I just pray into us that we would have the boldness to step out on what you speak into our hearts, that we wouldn't be foolish, we would get good counsel, we would use wisdom, but we would have the courage to step out on what it is that you speak into our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to have a faith promise offering now. Ben, if you come. Just as you're getting ready for that, I just reckon we might get Sarah and Matt to come running up here because I just want to pray for them before we go today. Is that all right? Is that all right with everybody? Why don't you stand with me as we reach our hands out? Heather, why don't you come too? And let's reach our hands out to these guys. These are fantastic guys. It's been a privilege to work with Matt over these years. And him and his sister did a fantastic job in Dapto, just loving people, holding them together in really difficult circumstances. He set his heart to continue that and to reach out and to do what God has called him to do. And I've already raved about Sarah. She's wonderful. And God is going to do a great work in these guys. So, Father, we just thank you for Matt and Sarah. We thank you, Lord, you've brought them together in just wonderful circumstances. In the midst of mission and outreach and serving you, you've brought them together as they've sought you first and you've just taken care of everything else. And, Lord, I just pray for them. We pray for them right now for your blessing to rest on them, that their marriage next week will be beautiful and wonderful and everything that their heart desires, that you'll build them strong together, that you'll help them to overcome any of the cultural differences and things that they encounter between them and in where they go, that all of that will work through and that your blessing will rest upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.